Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
We've been talking about honor as a church. We've been looking at what it means to honor God through His Word and how to approach His Word. We talked about how to honor God through His resources. We talked last Sunday about how to honor God through our time. Today we're going to kind of go a slightly different direction and understand what does it mean to honor God with the authorities that He has placed in our life. And sometimes, you know, we probably don't think a lot about that, but we ought to, because Scripture speaks about it quite often, as a matter of fact. And one of the reasons I think that this came to my mind as I was patterning this sermon series was that I've kind of grown pretty skeptical of authority. I don't know if you're like me, pretty pessimistic about the political climate we live in. I don't find any news channel easy to watch or digest, local or global. The climate we find ourselves in is so void of anything I identify with that I can't hardly watch it. It's very, very difficult for me. So I'm going to do my very best to sidestep a lot of political conversations today. I recognize that in a group this size, we come from a lot of different opinions on that. I will say a few things, but I'll try to do it in a very general way. The bottom line is, I feel like we have to, as believers, really answer some questions about the authorities in our lives. Because the one thing that drives me more crazy than politicians, the thing that drives me more crazy than the whole process of electing a president, which, you know, we're still a year away from and I'm already tired of. The thing that drives me probably the most crazy is our believers who like to slam and ridicule people who have difference of opinion. I don't think that gets us anywhere. And I see that Facebook has become just a highway for that. And in a lot of different ways. So I guess I'm just saying that I want to hide behind some text on this and allow the Word of God to speak to me about this. Romans chapter 13 is where we will be. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul. I mean, now that I've kind of put myself on this really thin sheet of ice, let me just get to Scripture, right? These are the words of the Apostle Paul, Romans 13, 1 and 2. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Those are pretty harsh words. I mean, Paul doesn't dance around this issue right here, does he? Very difficult words. And in case, you know, you're thinking, he just doesn't understand our climate. Paul never met Hillary Clinton, for crying out loud. I mean, he certainly has never watched, you know, Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live. And he certainly didn't think that there would ever be a man like Barack Obama, right? I mean, that's kind of how you're reading. Like, come on, Paul, he had his head buried in the sand, right? We often, when we read Scripture, we often miss the wider lens of history. And here's what I mean by this. I mean, our nation was founded not to be governed by professionals. Our nation was founded to be governed by the people. Right? By the people. And what we've done is we've turned over our rights to have a representative government, to have a professional political government. And what we've discovered is that nobody is safe from their own policies. I mean, it's a train wreck out there. It's an absolute train wreck out there. But I guess it really comes down to this for me. However, our world, let me say it this way. Our world has existed a lot longer without the United States than with us. Right? God's word will survive even if the United States does not. And we tend to get our heads wrapped so much around our own country that we miss the greater picture of what God's doing around the world. And I don't want you to think that I'm not a proud American. I am. I am. I've had conversations with some of you about that lately. Side story I don't have time for. I don't want you to think that I'm not humbled by the men and women who have worn a uniform to protect my ability to stand or sit here on every Sunday morning to share words. I'm absolutely indebted and humbled to them. I don't want you to think that I don't care about our nation, our liberties, or our future, because I do. But honestly, The greatness of the kingdom of God eclipses the greatness of America. And so my loyalties and where I place myself is more squarely in the kingdom of the Almighty. And I want to take everything through the lens of what God is telling me and not what a nation is telling me. So with all that being said, can I share just a little bit of what's going on in the life of Paul as he's writing these words to the church in Rome? Because I think it really helps us understand how bold these words were. These words were written in 57 AD. This was during Paul's third missionary tour. This tour, he specifically went around and he was collecting an offering, not for himself, but for the poverty-stricken believers that were in Jerusalem. Many of the believers had been ostracized and kicked out, and there was a lot of friction. They were put into poverty. And so Paul was collecting offerings from the churches all around, and he was going to take it back to Jerusalem. His heart wanted to go to Rome, but he knew that he needed to deliver this offering back to Jerusalem. So instead, he wrote this letter to prepare his way when he would arrive there. This letter was written to the church in Rome so that when Paul eventually would get there, he would already have laid the groundwork of a lot of theological thinking so he could just enhance that when he got there. The recipients of this letter were largely Roman Gentiles, but many of them were going to be Jewish people as well. And according to William Barclay, one of the great theologians in days gone by, he wrote that Jews were notoriously rebellious. Jews were notoriously rebellious. Insurrection was big among them. There's a group of Jews known as Zealots who believed that God would only help them as long as they were helping themselves through violent action against the authorities over them. And in specifically in Rome, the political climate was turbulent. It changed constantly. There was a season where the Jewish understanding and Christian understanding was actually protected, as long as you didn't, you know, fight against the system. But 7 years after this letter was written to the church in Rome, I mean, the ink is barely dry, right? 7 years after, in 64 AD, Emperor Nero burned a significant section of the city of Rome and blamed it on the Christians. He did this so that he could drive them out of his city. So, does the text seem like it was easy to read for the first readers? Does Barack Obama seem that bad after all for some of you? Here's the reality. The church is called to respect the authorities because the authorities were placed there by God. Period. And we don't like to hear that. We do not like to hear that. Roman author Tertullian is a great Christian author of the second century, recorded this prayer. We offer prayer for the safety of our princes to the eternal, the true, the living God, whose favor beyond all other things they must themselves desire. Then he says, without ceasing for our emperors, we offer prayer. The church was praying for the emperor. We pray for life prolonged, for security to the empire, for protection for the imperial house, for brave armies, a faithful senate, and a virtuous people, and the world at rest. It's a prayer from the second century church, listening to the words of Paul, even though they had been chased out of their town time and time again. It wasn't until 313 AD that Christianity itself was fully recognized and fully protected by the Roman government. We miss that because we have the Roman Catholic Church. We kind of make in our minds, we think that it's always good. Tertullian also said that Caesar is more ours than yours because our God appointed him. I read that and went, huh? Are you kidding me? So what this man understands and what the church understood was that it was very challenging to read these words that Paul was writing. It was very difficult for the church to listen to what Paul was saying, but they put it into practice often. Can we look at this entire text? I want to look at not just the first two verses. We're going to reread those, but we're going to look at verses 1-5. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. I have a hard time moving on from that. It's just significant. For the authorities do not strike fear in the people who do right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? then do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good, but if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. And then we'll stop there, because I only want to get into what he talks about with taxes. All right, we'd lose everybody. All right. Paul commands the church in this hostile Rome environment to focus on their walk with God and their sin and their need for grace. That's what he says. If you look at the entire letter leading up to this moment, especially just in chapter 12, which is one of my favorite chapters of all of Scripture, we're called to be living sacrifices. We're called to live in sober judgment of our own walk. We are to develop our own God-given talents. And above all, we are to learn how to love. No, we're to master how to love with a sincere love toward all mankind, finding joy in the midst of persecution. These are the words that Paul writes leading up to this, these words about listening to the authority. And why should we listen to authority? Because they are God's servants. They are placed there by God. Scripture repeatedly tells us that no authority on earth is placed without God's direction. Isn't that insane? That's crazy when you look at the crazy people leading countries all around us. And if we're to listen to this, then what we have to understand is that Pharaoh was God's man. Look at Exodus 9 for me. By now, God says, he's telling Moses to tell this to Pharaoh, by now I could have lifted my hand and struck you and your people with a plague to wipe you off the face of the earth. But I've spared you for a purpose, to show my power and to spread my fame throughout all the earth. Pharaoh was God's man. If we're to believe these words, then Nebuchadnezzar was God's man. Jeremiah 27:6. Now I will give your countries, speaking to Judah and Israel, I will give your countries to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who is my servant. I've put everything, even wild animals, under his control. If Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar were God's men, then Pilate was God's man. John 19, he's imploring to Jesus, why don't you talk to me? He demanded. Don't you realize I have power to release you or crucify you? Then Jesus said, you would have no power over me unless it were given to you from above. The people in authority in our lives have been placed there not for our happiness and not for our enjoyment. They have been placed there for our holiness, for our walk with God. They've been placed in our lives sometimes as a stumbling block for us to grow and mature. They've been placed there as a blessing sometimes for us to be blessed. But nonetheless, they've been placed there by God. There are lots of places of authority in your life. There is government, which we've been talking about. There's church authority. There's spousal authority in your homes. Kids, you have an authority over your life. It's called mom and dad, right? And we all have masters. According to Scripture, they use the word masters, but by application, it's employers. For teenagers and children, it's teachers. What parent loves to get a call from a teacher that says, your kid's kind of giving me a little disrespect? I don't, and I've had those calls. Haven't I, Sean? Just like 2 weeks ago, I was with Sean Andrews and got a call from another teacher. I said, can you help me make sure this teacher's legit? Yep, that one's legit. All right, so here we go, right? So the reality is there are authorities in all of our lives. There are authorities everywhere, and God is calling us, God is challenging us to live by them. Time is going quickly. I want to share with you three scriptures that just remind me that this is not just in one place in Scripture. This is the Word of God. 1 Timothy 2. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Titus 3. Remind the believers to submit to government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show humility to everyone. 1 Peter, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as the head of state or officials that he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you, for you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom to as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. What value do we bring in respecting the authorities in our life? What value is there in this? What good can come from this? Here's what I've come to the conclusion of having researched this week. We can only learn how to submit to the eternal authority of God when we have first disciplined ourselves to submit to the temporal authority of this world. I'll have to read that again. It was too long to put on a slide. Actually, I just decided not to this morning, but here's what it is. I want to say it again. We can only learn how to submit to the eternal authority of God when we have first disciplined ourselves to submit to the temporal authority of this world. The Life Application Commentary says it like this, that although submitting to God is our most basic responsibility, God has placed us in situations that offer daily lessons in submission. And if we don't learn proper submission in those areas, our submission to God may be imaginary. How are you challenged to practice submission in your family, at school, at your work, in the sports that you play, or even with our government? Are there persons in your life that their authority is challenging to follow? None of my staff better say yes to that. How submissive and God-honoring is your attitude toward those in authority over you? In what ways can you demonstrate respect for authority, even those you struggle to admire or understand? Daniel respected King Darius even when he was thrown into the lion's den, but he loved God more. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego respected Nebuchadnezzar as they were being pushed into the furnace, but they loved God more. Jesus even subjected himself to the authority of man as he was willingly laying down his life to die for you and I. How might God want to change you today as we consider the ways that you need to humble yourselves before someone in authority over you? God may want to do some great work over that pain in the rear boss of yours. He may want to do an amazing thing with that bully in your school, or that person that just doesn't like you much. He may want to do an amazing thing through that coworker that just grinds you. God wants to use all things at all times to work His will out in your life all the time. God has placed authority in our lives so that we may learn how to ultimately submit ourselves to Him. And that's how we honor God. There is a line. There is a line. I had to eliminate it from our conversation, but let me just speak of it quickly. Acts chapter 5 speaks of a story where the apostles are filled with the Spirit and preaching, and they won't shut up. And in 5:29 it says, but Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human authority. This is not a contradiction. They're talking about proclaiming the love of God, and they will not stop. But 99% of our decisions in our life are not about that, unfortunately. And that's not what we're talking. We should actually be more bold about proclaiming the love of God. That's absolutely true. But we need to be people who are respectful of the authority in our lives so that we have the opportunity to proclaim God's love. May we be the people of God, despite the climate around us, who will subject ourselves to the authorities in our lives, our bosses, our presidents, our spouses, and may we become more holy because of it. God, I pray for my friends today that as we go from this place, You will challenge us not with my words, but with Your holy word. May You challenge us today to be Your people, living in peace and submitting ourselves to Your will in every corner of our life, where it's easy and where it's difficult. May we see Your hand at work. And as we submit ourselves to the authority of the people around us, may we ultimately learn how to best submit ourselves to Your authority in our life. And may we always walk in obedience with You. May we always listen for Your voice and do what it says. May our hunger and our thirst grow for more of You as we do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.